At the beginning of this week's parsha, and as you can already see, it's a double parsha this week. Vayakel Pekudei. The Torah says, "Vayakel Moshe es kol adas bnei Yisrael vayomer aleihem elad vayomer shetziv Hashem lasososav." Moshe Rabbeinu is about to pass on to bnei Yisrael the tzivui about building the Mishkan. Up until now, Moshe Rabbeinu has heard about the building of the Mishkan, and now he's going to tell Bnei Yisrael about it. And the Torah begins, Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered Bnei Yisrael together. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Perush Emes Liyakov, wonders, why is it that the Torah emphasized that Moshe gathered Bnei Yisrael together at this juncture to tell them about the building of the Mishkan? So he tells us that, as we well know in Parshas Yisrael, when Bnei Yisrael arrived at Har Sinai, so it says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Keneged Ahar, Vayichan in the singular. And therefore Chazal learned out from here that they camped by Har Sinai Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. They were totally united. But that was a long time ago. That was on Aleph Sivan. And now Rashi tells us it's Motzai Yom HaKippur, Macharat Yom HaKippurim. So many months have passed. We've had over 4 months, did I count correctly, from Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. So it's more than 4 months have passed. And a lot has happened in those 4 months, including Chet HaEgel, getting the Luchos, Matan Torah, Chet HaEgel, second Luchos. But the Yerushalmi says something very interesting and in many ways disturbing about the Chet HaEgel. The Yerushalmi suggests that when Bnei Yisrael built the Egel, they didn't build one Egel. Each Shevet built their own Egel. That unity that existed fell apart. And everybody wanted a different Egel. And Reuven wanted theirs, and Shimon wanted theirs, and Yehuda wanted theirs. Everybody wanted their own Egel. Now that the Egel, or the Agalim, have been destroyed, Bnei Yisrael have reached a certain degree of kapara, Vayom Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to reunite Bnei Yisrael. Try to capture, maybe not to the same degree, but a little bit of that Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, for going to build the Mishkan. And therefore the Pasuk says, Vayakel Moshe es kol adas Bnei Yisrael Vayomer aleihem. Let's all once again gather together and try to be united L'avodas Hashem. Pasuk Aleph says he gathered them to tell them about the Mishkan. But he only starts telling them about the Mishkan in Pasuk Dalet, with the repetition. Vayomer Moshe el kol adas bnei Yisrael lemor, zeh hadavar shetziv Hashem lemor, kum etchem trum al Hashem. But there are two psukim in the middle that don't seem to belong there. Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel. He's about to tell them about the Mishkan, and he interrupts it. Sheishes yamim teyaseh melacho v'yam ashvi yelachem kodesh Shabbos shavason Hashem. He tells him about Shabbos. Pasuk Gimel lo sabar reish b'chol moshu aseich v'yam ha-Shabbos. Why does he have to tell him about Shabbos? We keep hearing about Shabbos. Shabbos is very important. But we had Shabbos in Matan Torah, in Parsha Zohar, in Parsha Yisrael. We tell Zohar is yom ha-Shabbos l'kadsho. We have Shabbos in last week's Parsha. Again, we have to have Shabbos. I know it's important, but why interrupt? I want to tell you about the Mishkan. 1 second, what about Shabbos? So Rashi quotes the Mechilta and says, "Hiktim lahem azara Shabbos l'tzivu melechet haMishkan loma sheinodochas haShabbos." The Torah, Kodesh Moshe Rabbeinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "I want to tell you about the Mishkan, but first I'm talking about Shabbos. Why? To teach us that as important as it is to build the Mishkan, it's not dochas Shabbos." And as we all know, in fact, we learned that the Lametet Malachot that are Asr on Shabbos are learned from building the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan was Asr to build on Shabbos, and because you're not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos, ergo, what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos is what's involved in building the Mishkan. And that's why it's here. And after warning Bnei Yisrael that you have Shabbos and you can't be Docha Shabbos to build the Mishkan, it then goes on to tell us about the Mishkan. That's what Rashi says. But I want to suggest something else. Maybe I'll be drush. But maybe there's another underlying message, a connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael about building the Mishkan. He says, "Kum eichem truma l'Hashem." A tzedakah campaign. I want everybody to come and contribute. What I want you to contribute: zahav, kesem, nechoshes, tcheles, ragaman, tolad, shani. Going down the list, we have to build this, and we have to build that, and then we're looking for volunteers. People want to give their time to work. No one's getting paid for this. The chachmei lev, and the women who are able to weave and to sew, and everybody, this is what we want. Now, anybody who's ever been on a fundraising campaign knows how difficult it is to get people excited, to get people involved. You know, you want people to do this, you want people to raise money, and you have to come, and you have to ask, and you have to beg. And lo and behold, this was probably the most successful fundraising campaign in the history of mankind. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael on Yud Aleph Tishrei that we need to start raising all these things, not money, but all these items for the building of the Mishkan. They start collecting on Yud Bet, on Yud Gimel, and by the time Yud Aleph comes along, the people come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, "Tell them enough!" So a few psukim later, a little bit later in the parsha, Vayitzav Moshe vayaviru kol b'machaneh, they had to issue a proclamation, Leimor ish v'ish al yasu od melocha l'chumas ha-kodesh v'kalei me'am l'avi. Imagine a campaign that says, enough, stop contributing. We have more than what we need. In 3 days they had everything that they needed. Why? How did it happen? The answer, obviously, is that Bnei Yisrael didn't look at contributing to the Mishkan, whether with their goods, with their services, with their abilities, as any kind of burden. It was a tremendous privilege. They wanted to give whatever they could. And people gave zahav, kesef, and nechoshet. We know that the Nesi'im underestimated. The Nesi'im, who were very wealthy, would say, listen, let Bnei Yisrael contribute whatever they want, whatever they can, we'll fill in the rest. 3 days later, there was nothing left to fill in, except for some of the precious stones. Yavnei Shom, Yavnei Miluv, that was all that was left that needed to be done. Bnei Yisrael gave willingly, because they had the opportunity to contribute to the Mishkan. This is something unbelievable. And they gave wholeheartedly. Mishkan wasn't a burden, it was a privilege. So now let's go back to Shabbos. What's the... maybe hidden, one of the hidden messages. Why is Shabbos mentioned right here when it comes to the Mishkan? Because if a person were to hear about Shabbos, somebody who doesn't know, never experienced Shabbos, and you ask them, what's Shabbos about? You tell them, well, on Shabbos you can't do 39 melachas. 39 melachas, well, what can't you do? Chorej, Zoreya, Kotze, Ma'am, Dash. Can't work anything in your fields. Can't do any cooking. Can't do any baking. Can't do any cooking. Can't do any baking. You can't light fires. You can't extinguish fires. You can't light. You can't extinguish fires. You can't carry. You can't go too far outside your city. You can't write. You can't, you can't, you can't. So many things you can't do. So a person hears this and he says, boy, I feel sorry for you guys. You guys must dread Shabbos. It must be such a downer, such a thing. You probably can't wait. You must dread Shabbos coming. Can't wait till the second Shabbos is over. Boy, you can't cook and you can't bake. Like, what are you guys eating on Shabbos? Just like peanut butter sandwiches or something? Like, that's what you have to do? Like, you open up a can. Oh, you can't open up cans? Maybe you can, but what are you guys going to do? You probably starve to death, and it must be so dreary, dark, and cold. And you look at this person and said, obviously, I've never experienced Shabbos before. Shabbos? You think we can't eat? I have to diet the whole week after what I eat on Shabbos. The best food I have is on Shabbos. So, but what do? Well, we can't turn on computers. We can't use no computers, no phones, no tablets, no television, no radio. Oh, boy. It must be boring. Like nothing. So you don't understand. We actually learn to communicate on Shabbos. We talk to each other. We see friends. We have family time. We sing smiras. We get together. We learn. Shabbos is great. Shabbos is wonderful. And that may be one of the underlying messages. That just like Bnei Yisrael contributed so readily to building of the Mishkan, this wasn't another tzedakah campaign. They keep knocking on my door, give him a dollar and tell him to go away. But no! We can get to contribute to the Mishkan. Let me give whatever I can. Because it's a privilege. Says that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana Tova Yeshli Bebeis Genazai, I have this beautiful present. This wonderful present that I have in my treasure house and I want to give it to Bnei Yisrael. It's not a burden, it's a present. It's great. It's wonderful. Just like contributing to the Mishkan was a privilege. The Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos. What do we say in Kiddush? Kivonu v'acharta v'alson kidashnu mikol ha'amim v'shabbas kadshecha bi'ahava uv'ratzon l'chatanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos not to punish us, because He loves us. It's so wonderful. Can you imagine what life would be like without Shabbos? There's a story that's told. I'll give you a hint, it's not true. But it's a story is told. It happened a long time ago. Sheshes and Mebreshes. I wasn't there. It was Sheshes and Mebreshes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating all these creatures. And there was one creature that He created. It was a very small creature. And it was very upset. Because it couldn't run. It couldn't really walk very far. It wasn't powerful. It was very small. And it had no way to defend itself. So the creature slowly but surely made its way before the Kisei HaKavod and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, look, You created me. I'm small. I have no way to defend myself. I'm not powerful. I can't run. What's going to happen? Some predator will come and I'm going to be stuck. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the creature and He says, okay, go to sleep tonight, and tomorrow everything will be better. The creature is very happy, slowly makes its way back to its place of rest, and goes to sleep, and wakes up the next morning, all excited, wondering what's happening, what's going to happen, and he realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stuck two appendages to it. Stuck two things to its side. So the creature says, I wonder what I can do. And he starts to run. He can barely walk now. These things just make it heavier. It's not good for defending itself. Except things didn't get any better, they got worse. The creature schleps itself back to the Kisei HaKavod and goes, Ribbono Shel Olam, what in the world did You do to me? You stuck these two appendages on my sides, and now I can do even less than I could before. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down at the creature and smiles and says, silly bird, those are wings. With wings you can fly. It all depends on how you look at it. If you look at the appendages as something that's going to let you to walk faster or to run faster, nah. But if you realize that they are wings that you can fly, that's a different story. If you take a look at Shabbos as being just another day of the week, just a little bit better, then Shabbos can be a burden. You can't walk faster. You can't run faster. But if you realize that Shabbos allows you to soar, it allows you to fly, what a gift. A couple of months ago, I was walking to shul, Shabbos morning, just a few minutes before 8 o'clock, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and I heard some noise. I looked up, and there was some guy who was paragliding, is that what they called it? I don't know, parasailing, something. some motorized thing with a parachute up in the air, whatever that is. And he happened to be flying fairly close to Ramat Beit Shemesh, up in the air. And I have to tell you, I wasn't envious of the guy. I felt sorry for him. Because I think this guy was looking for something that would give him a unique feeling, something special. And I said, for this is what he has to do? If he could come and just join me and have a great Psuki de Zimra? A good Psuki de Zimra outdoes this on a Shabbos morning anytime. See, there's a difference between pleasure and happiness. Pleasure is so momentary, right? Our senses feel a sense of pleasure, but it's here and it's gone in a second. But happiness is something that's deep down. I don't know if Shabbos gives us pleasure, but Shabbos gives us happiness. Shabbos touches our soul. Shabbos touches our neshama. It makes us so much, what should I say, happier people. We live for Shabbos. TGIES, right? Thank God it's Erev Shabbos, right? I think that's the way it goes. Right. This is what Shabbos is about. It's a privilege. It's a matana. It's a present from the Ribono Shel Olam that Baruch Hashem we have it. I feel sorry for the people who don't have it, who had it and just didn't appreciate it, who looked at it as two appendages on their sides and thought that all they can do with it is run a little bit faster. And they didn't realize that as high as the paragliding parish sailing guy was going, with Shabbos, he can soar to the heavens.